The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Wow, what a beautiful, beautiful day here it is in Sonoma County. Well, you know, March is Women's History Month, but it's also the month of my birthday, and yesterday I turned 78 years strong. I can't believe it's 78, 2 years from 80. I'm an old gal. Anyway, it was a wonderful, wonderful event. I had some kind of a brunch. I had my family over, and I was able to see my grandson and see my granddaughter, who's about 2.5 months pregnant. So I'm going to be a great grandmother, and I'm really excited. And also my granddaughter Caitlin and my beautiful daughter Susan and her husband Dave. And it was just wonderful. My brother stopped by, my dear friend Marion. It was just a beautiful, beautiful day. And I want to thank everybody for all the wonderful messages on Facebook. My God, I didn't know I had so many friends and so many good wishes. So I really feel this is going to be a very, very strong year for me. Actually, it's a year of art and temperance. So in other words, I'm going to be a little bit more creative and maybe learn how to be a little bit more relaxed about things. So it's really a very, very, very positive time right now for me. And again, thank you everybody that wished me a happy birthday. Well, I have a very special guest with me today, a woman by the name of Jade De La Cruz. Jade has been teaching women's self-defense for 25 years, and we'll be sharing some of her thoughts and ideas about women and some ideas on keeping yourself safe. You know, when I asked her for her bio, you know, one of the statements she said that was really impressive, this is her mission. I am on a mission to empower girls and women and am always grateful to find more ways to do that. What a great guest that she's going to be. Also, Jade will be joining a panel of women that will be happening on Thursday, March 29th in collaboration with the Merge Radio, Women's Spaces, and the Sonoma County Gazette. And we'll be showing a movie called The Rape of Racy Taylor. It'll be shown at the Rialto Theater in Sebastopol as a fundraiser for Verity, a program that helps women with sexual harassment issues. I want to read you. I mean, Verity is such an important program in our community. Their mission statement is, we, the people of Verity, working in cooperation with the community, strive to eliminate all forms of violence with a special focus on sexual assault and abuse. Sexual assault is an unacceptable form of oppression, which is destructive to the lives of the survivors, their families, and their friends. Verity facilitates healing and promotes the prevention of violence by providing counseling, advocacy, and intervention and education to our community. So it's very important as women out there that we support this program, we support the women's radio programs, and also we show up at the Rialto and support them, that they're doing this fundraiser for Verity, which is very, very important in our community. I will also be on the panel representing the National Organization for Women, the Sonoma County Chapter, along with our Sonoma County District Attorney Jill Ravitch, Executive Director of Verity, Christine Castillo, and Sonoma County, myself now. And I can't believe this. We're going to have Sheriff Rob Garadano on with us. He's our male on the panel. And of course, my guest, Jay De La Cruz. So it's going to be a very vibrant night that's going to be on March 29th, I can't believe it's almost the end of the month, and it's going to be at the Rialto Theater, and I'll have much more information for it, for the event, on next week's show. Well, you know, like I said, my birthday was yesterday, March 18th. Actually, I'm born the same day that the sleeping prophet, Edgar Casey was born. And actually, I should have been born March 17th, which is St. Patrick's Day, but my mother said, nope. I'm not going to have her on. She had to have a cesarean, so I was born on March 18th, the day after. But a lot of people celebrate St. Patrick's Day. And my neighbor, Harold Rogers, happy birthday, Harold, across the street, he is actually born on St. Patrick's Day. So I gave him a stuffed leprechaun. Of all things, it was about 2 feet tall, the cutest thing you ever saw. And they gave me a leprechaun shirt, which I'm wearing now, which says lucky. And I feel lucky. I feel lucky to be on the radio. I feel lucky to have fans out there that are listening. And I feel lucky to have Ken Norton with me as my co-producer and engineer. And I feel very lucky to have Jade De La Cruz in here to talk about women and self-defense and how we can protect ourselves. So it can't get any better. But one of the things that I did on Facebook is I've been noticing that a lot of people, when they have birthdays, they make requests, like give us a charity organization in my name for my birthday, or do this for my birthday. So I decided, why not? Why not tell people what I really want? So I put this on Facebook. Here's what I wrote. Thank you, everyone, for wishing me a happy birthday. This is my 78th one, and I'm looking forward to another exciting year. I am in awe of the folks asking for something special for their birthday, so I thought I would ask something special for my birthday. Number one, go on Facebook and become a fan of Women's Spaces. You know, Oprah Winfrey has over 2 million. I have about 450, so I feel I'm on my way, but I need you guys to go and become fans. Second request, become a member of KBBF. Support this station. This is the first bilingual station in the United States. I mean, we speak in all language. We are a community radio station. Become a member. Say, hey, this is in honor of Elaine's birthday. You know, if you don't want to become a member, make a donation. Make a donation in my name. And don't forget to say happy birthday. And then the last thing, work for peace and justice and support our youth. They're marching for their lives. 17 young people were killed in Florida by a young person who should have never had an AK-15 in his hand. So support these young people when they're walking and they're talking and they're letting us know what they need. Our youth are the future. You know, when I look at myself, I'm not the future anymore. I'm the past. They're the future. They're moving forward. And we need, as elders, to support them. So that's my wish for my birthday. And I'm curious to see how many people will actually participate. You know, go on the website, kbbf.org. You can look. You can become a sustaining member. You can become a partner. You can become just a member. You can just make a donation. Whatever you feel comfortable doing, please do. Well, another announcement I have, and this is a very important one. You know, I got an email this morning from a friend of mine, and she said to me, she says, you know, Elaine, it's really funny. Most people don't know that we're having a sheriff's election here in Sonoma County. I says, you mean people outside the county? She said, no, I'm walking, knocking on doors. People don't even know that we are having a sheriff's race. Well, folks, for the first time in 34 years, we have three candidates that we can choose from. You know, this is a very exciting election to me. And the downside of it is that during the June elections, most people don't come out to vote. The voter turnout is very low. Well, in this situation, we need everybody to be paying attention to the three candidates who are running. And I'll talk about that in a second. And also to VOTE. There's no excuse not to vote. You know, you can do your mail-in voting. You don't even have to go to the polls anymore. You know, so there's no excuse. We have to vote. This is a very important election. And to help educate each other, KBBF, our local community radio station, is giving me the opportunity. They are giving me 1 hour on the air to interview these three people. So on Tuesday, April 3rd, from 4 to 5 p.m., I will be interviewing the three candidates, Mark Essex, John Mutz, and Ernesto Oliveras. Three very, very strong candidates, but you need to listen because there's differences, very subtle differences. So I want to repeat that again. I will be doing an interview on Tuesday, April 3rd from 4 to 5 p.m., and I'll be interviewing the three candidates for sheriff here in Sonoma County, Mark Essex, John Mutz, and Ernesto Oliveras. And another thing that's really very exciting, that next week on Women's Spaces, I'll be interviewing a woman who actually wrote this book called Black and Blue. And she's going to be talking about different ways that they can be doing policing. So it's very important that you tune in to these shows to get yourself educated. Find out who these people are. And one other reminder, as most of you probably know, I had the honor of interviewing attorney Gloria Allred. If you remember, about 2 weeks ago, I want to remind people it is on www.womenspaces.com. It was recorded on 3/5. So if you go into the archives, hit radio, go to March 5th, you can listen to the interview. Turn it on to your friends. Let them know about it. Why am I encouraging it? Because for women, she's very inspiring. And the most important thing she is telling us to do is to raise our voices and get out there and vote. So there's a lot to think about. Let me tell you, there's a lot going on in this world that we could enjoy. Well, this is quite a morning for me. You know, March is National Women's History Month, you know, and I'm just so enamored by the fact that we have a whole month to celebrate women's history. And what's so fascinating to me is that here it was birthed right here in Sonoma County, and our own folks put it together, and the National History Project still lives here in Sonoma County. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that right now. Just give us all a little bit of history. It's very important that we know our history. H-E-R-S-T-O-R-Y. Her story. At one time, the only women that you ever heard about was maybe Amelia Earhart, that, you know, the aviator, or you heard about some of the people who may be in electronics, but very rarely did you hear about women or women artists. But in 1987, the United States Congress designated March as National Women's History Month. This creates a special opportunity in our schools, our workplaces, and our communities as we recognize and celebrate the often overlooked achievements of American women. In 1980, the National Women's History Project, NWHP, was founded right here in Santa Rosa, California, by Molly Murthy McGregor, Mary Roofstadter, Maria Cuevas, Paula Hemmett, and Betty Morgan to broadcast women's historical achievements. You know, you can't say it just takes one or two people. Boy, I'll tell you something. All of a sudden, you get an idea and you take off on it, and it's happening. Well, in 2018, which is this date right here, we are celebrating the 40th anniversary of Women's History Week, the week of March 8th, 1978, which led to the celebration of National Women's History Month in March. But again, few people know that it started right here in Santa Rosa. We know each year they have a very special theme. And, you know, if you go on NWHP.org, they have a whole store that you can get all kinds of papers and information and all kind of historical data on women. And each year they choose a special theme, and they exemplify lives of women who made some sort of contribution. And this year, their honorees, the theme is, Nevertheless, She Persisted, Honoring Women Who Fight All Forms of Discrimination. And so what I thought I would do, it's really interesting, especially since we're talking a lot about immigration and about the DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, I thought I would give you a little bit of historical background. Because what happened in the Women's History Project, like I said, the theme is, Nevertheless, She Persisted, Honoring Women Who Fight All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. Well, there's a woman that's being honored this year by the name of Christina Jimenez. She's the executive director and co-founder of United We Dream, the largest immigrant youth-led organization in the country. Originally, Christina was from Ecuador. She came to the United States with her family at the age of 13, attending high school and college as an undocumented student. She has been organizing immigrant communities for over a decade and was part of the United We Dream campaign team that led to the historic victory of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals DACA program in 2012 that protected close to a million young immigrants from deportation. You know, it's really interesting with all that's going on in DACA, and people say, oh, well, why did it's their parents' responsibility. Why did they bring them over? You know something, I'm a child of an immigrant. My father was born in Poland. People do not come to this country or leave their country because they're leaving, you know, a beach resort, you know, or something that they're very, very happy and content. They're leaving because they are being discriminated against or they're being harmed in some way. My people came because they were Jewish and they were being killed during World War I. Where else could they go? Fortunately, they were able to come to the United States. You know, these people are coming for a better life. And when they bring their children, imagine if you can't feed your child. You know, what does that feel like? You know, you're going to try to go somewhere to take care of that child. So they came over here. And that's how come we have all these young people that were brought over by their parents. And here's this young woman, Christina Hernandez, who started this program called DACA to protect them. Well, just to let you know, under her leadership, the organization has grown to a powerful network of 55 affiliates in 26 states with over 400,000 members. In October 2017, she was named a MacArthur Foundation Fellowship Genius Grant. Amazing. And many, many other awards. So if you want to find out more about Christine Hernandez, go on to the National Women's History Project, that's nwhp.org, and look up there. It's called, the theme again is, nevertheless, she persisted, honoring women who fought all forms of discrimination. And you can find out more about her, and you can find out more about the other 14 women who have been honored. And a special shout out to my dear friend Molly Murphy McGregor, who was on last week, for keeping this project moving along and keeps adding things, and year after year after year, it only gets better and better and better. So thank you so much, and to Sonoma State for supporting this effort when it did. Well, that's a lot to think about. And I'm almost out of breath here because that's a lot of information I just gave you. And, you know, I like feedback. You know, give me some feedback. I want to know, how do you like the show? How do you like some of the guests that are on? Maybe you'd like to recommend somebody to me. You know, all you have to do is email me at Elaine, that's Elaine, at womensspaces.com. Remember, two S's in the middle. And make a suggestion. You know, hey, you know, I'd like to have so-and-so on, or hey, you did a good job when you gave me this information. I mean, I need feedback. I want to know folks are listening, and I want to know what their thoughts are. Well, we're going to take a musical break. And the song I'm going to be playing, I love this song because this is how I feel. You know, we got to move forward with Women's History Month, with these young people marching for their lives. You know, we got to come across with some, I can't figure it out. By the way, I do have a letter to the editor in the Press Democrat here in Sonoma County. It's last Saturday. Let's see, that's the 17th. Oh, on St. Patrick's Day. That was when the letter hit the paper. And I talk a little bit about it. I'm really confused. You know, what's going on? You know, but we have to keep moving forward. We have to keep working for peace. We have to keep working for justice. We have to keep working to protect our children and make sure that they have a future. So I picked this song with that thought in mind. It's a song called Ain't Gonna Let Anybody Turn Me Around, sung by Lydia Violet. And I will be dedicating to this song to those people who walked out of their classes, those young people who walked out of their classes for 17 minutes to express their outrage that our Congress cannot even make the world a bit safer for them by passing some common sense gun laws. And you know, it's really interesting when you look at common sense gun laws. I found something before we go into the song. I just want to go over this really quickly. You know, the first thing I found there were five things that were what that was considered common sense. Number one, limit all magazines to 10 bullets or less. Oh my God. I think you should have zero bullets, but look at, let's just do 10 so you don't have something you can just shoot off a round of like 200 bullets and kill 200 people. Enhance your mandatory background check requirements and standardize them all in all the states. Make it so we all agree with each other. We're all on the same page. Why is that so difficult? You know, there's other ideas here that I think are very interesting. We should make sure that the national instant criminal background check system is built for confidence instead of speed. In other words, make sure all the information gets in there. We should treat firearms like guns with licensing, registration, and mandatory insurance. I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. If you shoot somebody, you should have insurance to cover their medical costs at least. I mean, it sounds kind of funny, but to think that we're not doing that. And then empower the government to actually collect and study information about trends in violence and see if there's any way that we can change it, that we can change our world. And that's what these kids are walking out. They're saying, we want some gun control. We want some common sense laws that will protect us. I mean, how would you feel? I mean, when I went to school, I never had to worry about somebody's going to come in and gun my classroom, for heaven's sakes. I mean, we should be ashamed of ourselves that this is happening to our kids. We should be ashamed of our Congress that they're not acting and doing something. You know, as a mother and as a grandmother and as a to-be great-grandmother, I say, get off your butts and do something and at least look at these five suggestions, which are very, very simple. And again, I'm going to dedicate this song, Ain't Gonna Let Anybody Turn Me Around, by Lydia Violet, to all those young people who are taking the risk and walking and marching for a better and a safer world for themselves and for the future. Freedom, man. I like that. Keep on walking and keep on talking. Got a lot of people walking and talking about the sheriff's race. Pay attention. Hey, for you folks just joining us, you're listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my special guest with me in the studio this morning, Jade De La Rue. So welcome, Jade. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Hi, thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, and I would like to tell my listeners a little bit about you, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay, well, Jade De La Rue has been teaching women's self-defense for over 25 years and currently lives and teaches self-defense here in Sonoma County and surrounding areas. She holds a master's degree in counseling psychology and has been supporting children, youth, and families in various roles for the past for 25 years. She is a transformational life coach, coaching individual teens and adults, couples and families. Jade is on a mission to empower people to find their greatness. Oh, I love that, to find their greatness. That is such a great goal, to tap into the deep well of power and strength that lies within and to heal and transform any and all area of their lives that hold them back in order to live a truly empowered, authentic and expanded life. What a beautiful mission you have, Jay. Well, welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank
welcome.
You.
Anything else you'd like to add?
No, that's good.
Well, tell us about your background a little bit. You know, how did you get into self? I mean, I look at you; you're just a slight woman, and I see your thing with self defense.
I've got my T-shirt on.
For girls,
the audience can't see it, but I've got my logo on my chest here.
And it's beautiful. So how did you get involved in this? Give us a little background about yourself.
When I was 19, I was a student at the University of California in Santa Cruz, and I was dating a young man at the time who had heard about the women's self defense classes on the campus, and he had grown up in Brooklyn, New York. He and his sister, so lots of street smarts. They understood how important it was to be alert and aware of your surroundings and be ready to run if you need to. And as a male, he's probably also ready to fight if he needed to. And he knew that I grew up in a very different environment in the suburbs, San Francisco suburbs, very low crime rate area. He knew I was pretty vulnerable and naive. And he encouraged me to take the women's self-defense class that he had heard about from his women friends.
Can I just ask you a question? Mm-hmm. What did he think you were vulnerable and naive about?
He was just much more aware of violence in the world. Yeah, and that, you know, as a woman especially, I could be assaulted. And that just wasn't really a part of my awareness at that time as a sophomore in college from where I came from. And so I took the class, and it was super fun, very empowering. And I loved it. And I went on to take more classes from that same instructor who was teaching on the campus. And it turned out the city of Santa Cruz had a program called the Prevention of Violence Against Women. Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women. And they funded self-defense classes in the community through the Parks and Rec program. And so I took a number of classes there, including intermediate level classes with other instructors. And then my first and primary instructor offered a year-long instructor training. So I participated in that.
So you took the class. Mm-hmm. What was the one thing or one or two things that when you say you felt all of a sudden empowered, what were the one or two things that you felt?
Well, I felt stronger and more confident and more capable of defending myself if I ever needed to. But I was also really educated about violence against women, dating violence, domestic violence, sexual harassment. There was a very big educational component of the class, as well as learning the physical skills and the verbal skills, and also having an understanding of my own psychology as a female. Like, how was I raised in this culture to prioritize almost always being sweet, nice, friendly, kind? And those are great qualities to have in life, but if that's how you are 99% of the time, we end up pretty vulnerable to people who are not nice, kind, or friendly, and actually could be aggressive or violent towards us. There comes a point where you have to put the nice, friendly, kind aside, and we have to step into a place of power and assertiveness and strength and courage and be willing to defend ourselves if we need to and put our safety first.
Well, you know what you said that's so interesting to me, and I'm sure other women can relate to this, is how innocent we are, that we don't think, you know, if we're nice, if we're kind, we don't think that any violence is going to come to us. And then all of a sudden we lose our naivety, so to speak, when all of a sudden something happens. You know, and then all of a sudden we're just totally unprepared. So it sounds like you're talking about when you got into these classes, you were kind of taking, two things were happening. One, you were becoming aware of how vulnerable and how innocent you really are. And the second thing, you were developing skills because you began to realize that violence does exist in the world.
Yeah, it was very educational, became aware of a whole wide range of types of violence. And also that in our culture, there are so many myths about who gets assaulted or where we're assaulted or who's dangerous and why we're assaulted. There are so many myths about that are perpetuated, especially in TV and movies, that are false. And so I learned what the facts are, and I teach those in my classes now.
Well, you know, one of the facts that I think has really become aware for me is that I am just overwhelmed and on a lot of levels of shock at that so many women coming forward that you really don't realize how bad the issues were and how many of us were actually affected. I mean, it's amazing to
issues
me.
Like sexual harassment, yeah. Stalking, domestic violence,
right.
Things like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I mean, we have huge programs that are working with this, and you have to scratch your head and say, well, why is this going on? How come so much? Do you have any ideas about that?
Why there's violence?
Yeah, what is happening? I mean, I look for myself, I think of what's put in front of us, the ideas that are continuously put in our heads on how we're going to handle situations. That's one of the things that I think. But share a little
bit.
Well,
I have a lot of theories about why we live in a violent world. I mean, in many, many ways, violence is glorified. There's so many video games, TV shows, and movies, especially where the heroes are violent. And, I love a great action movie. I love to see the battle of against good and evil and good wins. But I'm also an adult, and I can analyze that, and I know that it's a story. I know it's Hollywood, and because of my education through my self-defense training, I know what's really happening and what the dynamics really look like. I also think that when people are really hurting on a deep level, we act out from that place of hurt, and that can be a really good-hearted person who's really grieving or exhausted or extremely stressed out, that person who's normally very nice, caring, and loving can be cranky and angry and lash out maybe just verbally at someone they love. So I think almost all of us could relate to that, and you just expand that, go down the spectrum to someone who grew up in a violent neighborhood or community or grew up in a violent home, either witnessed violence or had violence done against them. There's some really deep wounding in individuals out there in the world. And it's not everyone acts out that violence against others, but there is a very strong trend in that direction.
Well, I think what you're saying, too, is that we need to pay more attention to each other, you know, because we do, sometimes people show signs and we just kind of overlook them. Well, thanks. That's a great kind of an overview, because people need to start thinking about what's coming into our world, what is creating, what kind of ideas are we being fed?
Well, and truly, the emphasis in my classes is not to analyze why we have a violent culture or why an individual might be aggressive or violent. The emphasis in my classes is, as girls and as women, if we are face to face with someone who's directing that hostility or violence towards us, how are we going to defend ourselves? How are we going to be safe?
Well, good. You know, talk a little bit about what are some of the things that you teach women in your class? I mean, what are some of the things they walk away with also?
Well, you know, you were talking earlier about Women's History Month, so I'm going to start off telling you a little bit about the history of women's self-defense in our country. So the woman who originally trained me, Toni Crossan, she trained to be a self-defense instructor back in the 80s in San Diego. And so this history was passed on to her, and then she passed it on to us. So in the 70s, during what a lot of us call the second wave of feminism, or the women's movement, but the second wave, right? We've got the suffragette movement, the right to vote in the early 1900s. And then in the 70s, we had women saying, we want equal pay for equal work. We want to be able to go into higher education that has traditionally been male-dominated, and go into fields. So that included, you know, basically saying we're just as smart as men, we're just as capable. I think there are a few types of work, like if you need to be really strong to carry, you know, an unconscious large adult out of a burning building, as women, some women aren't going to have that strength, you know. So there might be positions in the world or fields in the world like firefighting. Not all women can do that job, because you have to be big and strong in order to save people's lives. But with those exceptions aside, women were saying we're just as smart, just as capable, we deserve the same pay, things like that. And so they were branching into, you know, the medical field. They were becoming attorneys. They were becoming business owners and moving up through the corporate ladder, you know, breaking through that glass ceiling. And they're going into trades like construction, plumbing, electricians, things like that. And one of the arenas was martial arts. And those have traditionally been, you know, very male dominated. And women said, you know, we want to learn martial arts. And the main reason they went is because they wanted to know how to defend themselves in real life situations. She's holding my hand.
Well, because you can
be she reached across the table and took my hand for a second. What they found, what the women found, is they were moving up the ranks. Some, you know, women were becoming black belts. They were starting to teach classes. This is happening all throughout the country, maybe even other countries, but I'm mostly aware of the history in the U.S. And they found that high-ranking women in the martial arts were being assaulted and they were being raped. And they weren't having the level of success that everyone expected.
Wow.
And so in a very grassroots way around the country, just over coffee at the kitchen table, they started having conversations. What's wrong with this picture? And they started asking, is there something missing from traditional martial arts that women need in order to apply these skills in real life scenarios? And so they started brainstorming and they started creating classes that included discussions around, hey, what if it's your coworker? What if it's your neighbor? What if it's your spouse? What if it's you're on a date and it's your date assaulting you? What if it's your boss, someone with power, position of power over you in your work environment? What if it's your landlord? Because often, and this is still true to this day, we often assume that the attacker or the violent person is going to be a stranger. And decades of research has shown that the vast majority of assaults against children and adult women are by people we know. So the results of these studies vary a little bit, but it's between like 70% and 90% of assaults happen by people we know. So women have to have classes or discussions where we talk about, okay, let's imagine, what if it's someone I know? What if it's someone I love? What if it's someone who's never been dangerous before and just out of the blue, they're aggressive and trying to hurt me?
Well, there's another myth that we've been played, you know, another thing that really is innocent, that we're innocent. We think it's going to happen out there rather than somebody that's close. So sometimes we're not as careful.
Right.
I guess that's what you're kind of saying.
And there's a lot more education about that. In fact, earlier you mentioned Verity, which is a really awesome local agency, our local rape crisis and rape prevention program. They have an outreach education program that's staffed by volunteers who are trained and then go out into the schools and present on topics to kids like elementary school, middle school, I'm assuming high school as well, and talk about safety and how to avoid dangerous situations. And also the part of the message is to reach out for help if anything like that is happening to you. So there's a lot more education, and it's changing. I see things changing in movies and TV shows and news issues, not quite as far as I would like to see, but a lot more women, you know, my age, I'm in my 40s, are aware that the majority of assaults are by someone we know. So that's radically different from when I was a teenager.
Well, you know, when I start listening to you and I start thinking about how I think about violence and violence against women, I realize how a lot of us are not as in tune with what's going on around us as we should be. And it sounds like by going through the self-defense classes and some of the things that you're teaching or some of the ideas you're bringing forward is to create more awareness. And when you become more aware of what's happening, you can protect yourself better.
Sure. We talk about awareness, but I divide it into two areas. There's external awareness, like who's around me? What are they doing? Are they looking at me? What's their body language? Where are my escape routes? You know, where is it well lit or where is it dark? Where are people who could either help me or be witnesses? So there's an external awareness, but also our internal awareness is really essential. So I talk a lot about intuition and how important it is to listen to your intuition and trust your intuition and act on your intuition. And I've got about a dozen stories that I share in my classes on real life success stories that women have shared with me. But when they had a strong intuition, trusted it, acted on it, and got safe and avoided a really dangerous situation. I mean, avoided an assault.
Well, one of the things when you sent me your questions, one of the things you wanted to tell a little story about somebody. So mm-hmm. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about this woman that you worked with that you'd like to share?
Well, there isn't a specific woman that I've worked with. I mean, I've had probably hundreds of students over the years share about being victims of sexual assault, childhood sexual abuse, dating violence and domestic violence, and a few about stalking and sexual harassment, like in a school environment or in a work environment, and, you know, on the street as well. So in terms of a success story, you know, I've got about 20 favorites. I'm going to have to pick and choose here. Let's see. Well, I can tell one about intuition.
Go ahead.
So there was a woman, she was a wife and mother, and she was also a writer, very, very busy woman, and she loved to pack up her writing stuff and go to her favorite restaurant and say goodbye to her family for a few hours so she could go write. And she did that one night, got to the restaurant, ordered her food, and all of a sudden, she just started having this, what we say to kids sometimes, an uh-oh feeling or a gut feeling that something was wrong. So she kind of perked up and looked around, and all she saw were people eating and ordering their food and talking. Everyone looked normal, but she had this strong feeling. It didn't go away, and she decided to trust it. And this is kind of a big deal for this woman because she this time alone to write was really precious to her, and she didn't get it very often. So she canceled her food order, and she stood up and left the restaurant. And the next day, you know, this is the old days when we used to have newspapers. Everything's online now. But the next day, she read in the paper that a man had come into the restaurant, and he had opened fire and killed some people, terrorized everyone. And she avoided that because she trusted her intuition. So that example is kind of a mystery. You know, we could say maybe she had a psychic premonition or her guardian angel whispered in her ear to get the heck out of there. It kind of defies logic, but it's a great example of how important it is to trust our intuition.
Well, you know, it brings to my mind when I think about that. I know sometimes when I meet people, like you meet someone and you get this feeling, I shouldn't be with this person, or there's just something not right. Mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. say, oh, quit thinking like that. You know, just stop it. And a month or two later, and boy, there it is right in front of your face. You said, oh, I should have followed that first thought. And I think people need to be aware of that. Oftentimes, we kind of forget how much we know internally mm-hmm. and how much we're sensing and feeling. I mean, that's a very dramatic story, but that doesn't matter. If you have the feeling, and sometimes you have to learn how to recognize it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I can say, well, I shouldn't be here, and, you know, this is just my own paranoia, but there's just that feeling. I can't describe
sure.
it.
Sure, yeah.
And I think that's what you're talking
and
about.
And part of it is we have to trust that the human mind is incredible, and we really don't understand exactly how it works. And a lot of what we're perceiving in our environment is being analyzed essentially by the subconscious mind. So the conscious mind can, sometimes we can point to something like, oh, that's why I'm scared, that person, or, you know, that dark street, or this person who's behaving in some kind of unpredictable or aggressive way. But if the conscious mind can't point to an obvious source of why we're having that gut feeling that we're not safe, then that's a little more challenging because we live in a society that really values rational thinking and logical thinking, and intuition isn't always honored as a form of intelligence. So the subconscious mind is picking up on millions of pieces of data every second of the day and isn't necessarily communicating that up to the conscious mind. So another story is a woman who walked up to her house at night. She got to the sidewalk. She had a gut feeling something was wrong. She looked around. She didn't see anything. She didn't hear anything. Everything looked the same. Her house looked the same as she expected it to look, you know, early from earlier when she left. But she had a strong feeling and she chose to trust her intuition. So she went to the next door neighbor and, you know, either asked them to come to her house with her, maybe. I'm not sure exactly what her plan was. But from the neighbor's house, she looked through the window of the side of her neighbor's house. She had a totally different view of her front porch, and she saw the silhouette of a man crouched between the hedges and the front of the house right next to her front door. She couldn't see that from the sidewalk. She had to have that 90-degree angle.
That sense. That's...
Yeah, but she saw him. He had his fingers up to his mouth, if you can picture a dark silhouette. Had his hand and his fingers up to his mouth, and then you'd see a little tiny glowing red dot. And then he'd move his hand down, and the little glowing red dot would go away. And then he'd pull his hand up back to his mouth, and she saw the glowing red dot again. So he was smoking. So she might have actually smelled the cigarette smoke, which is something she normally never smelled in front of her house or near her house. But her conscious mind didn't identify it like, oh, I smell cigarette smokes. There must be someone nearby smoking or just walked by smoking. She didn't register that on a conscious level, but there's a good chance her subconscious mind did, and that's where that unconscious warning came from her intuition. Or maybe there was a slight difference in the shadow between the house and the bushes.
So what was the result of that?
She called the police.
So she was able to follow. So there was something, it was the smell or something. That's another thing we need to listen to and pay attention to, the triggers that come up on this. Well, what's so interesting, the show goes by so quickly,
yep.
And I definitely want to talk about this panel. I see that we can just go on and on.
Well,
about
I'd love
this.
To say a little bit more about what I teach in my classes.
Well, I'll take care of that. Let me just move a little bit into the Reiki. So you're going to be on this panel.
Right.
Okay. What is the idea of bringing, what are you going to talk about?
The women who are organizing that event wanted someone to speak about prevention. And one of them has had self-defense before and had a good experience. So she looked me up. She was hoping to find a self-defense instructor here in Sonoma County, and she found me.
So what are some ideas, and what are some of the things that you're going to express, how you teach or what you do?
Well, one of the things I'm going to tell them is what I include in my classes. The physical techniques are simple. They're easy to learn. They're easy to remember. A lot of people ask me just the other day, someone said, oh, you teach self-defense. Well, what martial art is it? So I have to explain. I'm not a black belt in anything. The physical techniques that were created back in the 70s that were then passed on through my instructor to what I teach now, they're simple, powerful, easy to learn, easy to remember. You can come and take a six-hour class with me and feel confident that you can do those techniques in a real life situation. Martial arts are great, but some of the techniques are very complicated and you need to practice for, you know, at least 6 months before you can be proficient and in a high stress, high adrenaline, scary scenario in real life be able to apply them. So I wanted to say a little bit about the physical part of the class.
But also on some levels we have to realize that we need to take care of ourselves, as I think is what you're saying. And I think that's why it's very important. Oftentimes, women don't think in terms of doing self-defense classes. They don't think in terms of protecting themselves. In fact, sometimes when you talk to women, they'll say, oh, I don't want to be paranoid. Mm-hmm. And in a way, you just have to be careful. Well, the clock is starting to run. And the one thing I want to talk about here is, how did you get interested in the film? Have you done some research? What was the most inspiring thing about when you read about it?
Well, I first heard about the film when I got the invitation to come on the panel. I hadn't heard of Reese Taylor before. So I went online and I saw the trailers for the movie and I saw Oprah's speech where she referred to Reese Taylor. And, I mean, essentially, this woman went through a horrific, traumatic sexual assault where she was assaulted by six white. She's African-American. This happened in the 40s when she was in her 20s. And she was assaulted by six young white males. I think they were teenagers. And they threatened to kill her if she told anyone. And she immediately reported to the police. So part of her incredible courage and why her story is so inspiring is that she didn't hide and go into isolation out of fear for them to retaliate. She went and reported anyway, and it went to court, and she worked really hard, and she had really good support from her family. And I don't want to give too much away. People should go to the event and watch the film and hear the panel.
It's just the whole idea of the film, and that's why we really encourage women to come. It's going to be at the Rialto Theater in Sebastopol on the 29th. And the reason we're encouraging women to come, and I'm going to be on that panel also, is because it's part of speaking out and protecting yourself when you are able to go and say, this happened to me, and you have support. You know, that there's more available to us than we recognize.
Well, right. Like, there are support resources in the community, like through Verity. There's also the YWCA, which has a safe house for battered women and counselors to help support and educate women on domestic violence. That's another great agency. And, you know, I told Maria, who invited me to the event, I said, you know, this is the kind of film that people could watch and leave feeling really horrible. Horrible about what happened to her, scared it could happen to me, horrible about a culture and a judicial system that never indicted these men. And we agreed, she and I agreed, we don't want people to leave the event feeling hopeless and discouraged. And I said, the best role I can play at that event is to give people information about self-defense that's concrete, that they can leave that night and say, I am more capable now of protecting myself, or maybe teaching this to my daughters because of what Jade shared at the panel.
But there's another thing, too, that's happening and that women need to recognize, is that there's a new era of awareness. You know, we haven't been aware of how much of an issue it is as much as we are today. You know, I know for myself, I'm still shocked by listening to some of the stories. I mean, I had Gloria Allred on this show, and mm-hmm. we talked a lot. We talked about it. And I mean, all the women that she's defended and worked with, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is really something. So just to piggyback on what you said, I think of it, the whole idea of coming together is not to be afraid, but to look at what happened to this woman, to recognize that it could happen to us, and that we have to make sure there are laws in place and that we have things in place for ourselves that protect us.
Sure.
And not to walk away thinking, oh, this is going to happen. No. That's not the idea. The idea is to, and not only that, to validate, also to validate the fact of what our sisters of color have had to go through in their lives when it comes to getting the law to put them on their side.
Right, the history of racism.
Yeah, it's very, you know, and I think that's why it's so interesting, her name, Racy, you know, because
it's Racy.
But even people mm-hmm. pronounce it Racy. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting to me that even that connotation of the name of what went on with her. So, as we come to the end of this segment, tell us some classes that are coming up and
sure.
your website.
Yeah, my website is selfdefenseforgirlsandwomen.com. There's a dash in self-defense, so self-defenseforgirlsandwomen.com. You can also just do a search for Women's Self-Defense Sonoma County or Jade's Women's Self-Defense, and you're going to pull up my website and my Facebook page. So if you use Facebook, you can just do a search for Jade's Women's Self-Defense, and once you like that page, then you'll get my posts on your news feed, and I post videos and articles that are empowering and have some kind of self-defense theme, and information about my classes. And then the flyers for each of my classes will be on my Facebook page and the website. I have two classes coming up, one in Sebastopol on Saturday, April 14th. That is a class for teens and young women, so ages 13 to 22. And it's from 9:30 to 4. Let's see. And then in May, I have a mothers and daughters class Saturday, May 12th, and Saturday, May 19th, from 2 to 5 p.m. in Healdsburg. And no one needs to write that down. You just need to go to my website and find those flyers. No.
And also, it'll be listed on Women's Spaces.
Great.
You can send me the email and list it, and I'm happy to list it.
Okay.
Well, Jay De La Cruz, I want to thank you so much. This has been a very, very interesting conversation. You have so much to share, you know, and time just goes by very quickly.
Sure.
So thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being on the panel.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
For putting the time and the energy. Well, wow. So much to cover. It's amazing. Well, that's it for our show. A reminder to tell your friends that Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. This evening. I want to thank Jay De La Cruz for giving us such wonderful insight into women and self-defense. And once again, a reminder that on Thursday, March 29th, there is going to be a film called about Racy Taylor. I'm slipping the name of the title of the film. Is it the Rape of Racy Taylor? Anyway, it's going to be in the Rialto Theater in Sebastopol. It's going to be, there'll be a reception at 6:30. The film starts at 7. And we'll have a panel there. And like I said, I'm really excited that we're going to have our district attorney, Jill Ravitch, on. Jay De La Cruz will be on talking about self-defense. I'm going to be on talking about the National Organization of Women and hopefully inspiring women have a little bit more confidence to stand up and to speak out. And I want to thank all the folks that are participating in this film. It's going to be very exciting. It's a fundraiser for our own Verity, which is a rape crisis center and helps women who are suffering from sexual assault. I mean, there's just so much going on in our community, but the most important thing is that we have to come out in numbers and show that we are not in favor of what's happening and we want to make sure that women are being taken care of. Well, you know, lots to think about. I want you to remember that the children are our future and that we must never lose sight of that. And once again, on March 24th, the young people are going to be marching out of their classes. Please remind yourself to support them. This is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. I want to thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.